It's powerful. It's responsive. It handles beautifully. And it'll blow the doors off anything else in its class. And right now, we'll let you take one out for a test drive overnight. Just visit an authorized Apple dealer and test drive a Macintosh.
Hello, and welcome to Colcassie Best 30 Plus Minute Apple Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Irvin Elijah. Joining me today, he's the only Apple journalist that looks as sexy as the product he covers. Lewis Wallace is here.
Wow, that's the most unbelievable intro yet. It's great to be here.
And 100% true, right?
Oh, yeah. Just look at all the... Yeah.
Well, you told me you're wearing leather pants today.
That was supposed to be a little secret between me and you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that you wanted me to keep that secret. Every time you bend over, I hear it squeaking. Did you ever see that SNL sketch? Was it SNL? Yeah, I think it was Jimmy Fallon as like a leather man, and every time he walked, his entire outfit would squeak.
I don't think I've seen this.
Well, you know what? You missed a classic. And when we're done with this, I'll have to shoot it to you.
Excellent.
Buster couldn't make it because he broke his microphone mere moments before we started recording.
Literally nobody on earth with a more appropriate name than Buster.
Bust it. He should change it legally to busted it because all of his technology breaks. It's so cliche at this point to even talk about the fact that Buster broke his technology. And I'm surprised that it took him this long to break his mic. And I hope that it is just the cable as he was thinking it might be, because that mic that he's using, that mic that he has, is the original Cultcast mic. I think that I got that for him. It's a Rode Podcaster classic microphone. And I think he's been using it for almost 7 years. So that just speaks to its longevity, that Buster, who doesn't even keep it on a mic stand. I mean, he has it sitting on like a pile of books. He has it sitting on a pile of garbage. He is using it while he's warming his hands over the barrel full of burning trash. Jeez. I mean, that thing has lasted a long time. And speaking of vagabonds, when is LK coming back?
I think at the end of January. I'm not sure the exact date. Probably not next week, but
are you kidding?
After.
He's gone all of January?
Hey, you know, it's a nice break. He deserves one. He's been working on that book. He's been driving himself crazy.
You mean he's been supervising the work into the book and he's driving the people writing it crazy?
Well, you could interpret it how you wish.
Well, he's going to be gone for all of January, for real, and you had the office all to yourself? That's like a vacation for you.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I've been having some nice naps. Don't have to wake him up from his naps. And
yeah, which saves you lots of time, I know, because he's grumpy when he gets up.
Yeah, got to walk on eggshells.
And do you sit in his chair and pretend that you're him and just bark orders at people and then go back to sleep?
Don't tell anybody.
You emptied his Stella Artois mini fridge.
That's been empty for weeks now.
Oh, he emptied it himself before he went, I'm sure. He doesn't like a stale ale. He likes them to be nice and fresh. Okay, well, before things get any more unrelated to Apple, let me see here. What do we have this week? Oh, my gosh. We have so much good stuff this week. It is kind of slow, but surprisingly, we have some choice tidbits to talk about. You probably already know this. We have a report on what the iPhone 11 will look like. And people are talking about a triple lens camera, not double, triple, because two's not enough, Lewis.
Of course.
Don't you feel like you're missing out on one more?
Oh, man.
Imagine the things that you could capture with one additional lens. So we'll be talking about that. And then we'll talk about this smart battery case that Apple just quote unquote unleashed onto the people. We've all been waiting for this breathlessly, am I right? I finally feel complete that we have this Apple battery case, but we at least want you to know that it's out there, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So stay tuned. Also, Nike has, speaking of big releases, Nike has given us the shoes that we have always wanted. Do you remember Back to the Future when Michael J. Fox puts his feet into those shoes and they self-lace? That has just become a reality. It's something that you could actually buy, and it's controlled by your iPhone. So we'll tell you about that. And I wanted to talk about Netflix, and I know that's not an Apple-related story, but give me a break. It's a slow week, okay? And everyone uses Netflix. I have my own personal Netflix story, and I wanted to ask you, Lewis, with these price hikes, were you thinking about sticking with Netflix? I know that everyone just has their Netflix accounts, and you kind of don't even think about it. It's just one of those things that you keep paying for, but they keep raising their prices, and they just did it again this week. And I feel like it's getting up into this threshold where people are going to start questioning what the value of Netflix is to them, and they might start losing subscribers. That's kind of what happened to me. So I thought we could just bounce around on that a little bit. And then we're going to wrap up with an all new What We're Into. I have not one, not two, but three separate picks of things that I'm very excited about to talk about this week. And Lewis, you have two, is that right?
Yeah, it's kind of one and a half, but
one and a half.
Let's call it two.
Let's just round it up. Call it two. It gives us five, so I'll give us some stuff to talk about at the end of the show. Before we dive into this week's biggest news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Burrow for supporting this episode. Are you planning on big changes in the new year? It's tough whether you're trying to break a bad habit or leave a lame relationship. One of the changes that should be easy is pulling the plug on that worn-out, hand-me-down couch you've been hanging on to. Start fresh in 2019 with the most comfortable, durable, and stylish sofa out there from Burrow. Once you spend a few minutes on your Burrow sofa, you'll wonder how you went so long without it. Do you like mid-century designs? They have very beautiful mid-century couches that are made in America, and you order them on Burrow's website. They cut out the middleman, send the couch directly to you. And you get them for a really low price. I was surprised when I saw how inexpensive these were. And they have some nice features built in. So first of all, they're designed for comfort. They have their own supportive proprietary foam built in. And they have USB chargers built into the couch. So you can charge your phone, your iPad, right from your seat on the couch. You don't actually have to get up. You know, how many times have you been using your phone on the couch and then it's dying? So you have to get up and go put it somewhere. And then you can't use your phone while you're watching TV, which, you know, I don't even watch TV anymore unless I'm doing something else on my phone at the same time. I mean, who actually, speaking of Back to the Future, you remember in Back to the Future 2 when Marty Jr. was sitting in front of that TV and he had like 18 channels going? That's basically me now. I have to have like three different screens going at one time. And I put a movie on. I'm not even paying attention to it because I'm looking at what's on my phone. I mean, imagine how bored my life is when I can't look at two screens at the same time. Don't let that be you. Plus, their modular design means you can change the size of your sofa at any time, and it's easy to set up. Plus, shipping is fast and free. Check it out. Make a resolution in favor of comfort and convenience for the new year and save $75 on a new Burrow sofa by visiting burrow.com/cultcast. That's burrow.com/cultcast, and you will save $75 on your sofa. That's burrow.com, burrow.com/cultcast. Okay, Lewis, let's talk about this Wall Street Journal report. Normally, I wouldn't even talk about something like this because we hear so many iPhone rumors and most of them are absolute garbage. But Wall Street Journal came out with a report. They are obviously well connected and their reports are oftentimes credible. So we got a report from them this week that says the 2019 iPhone lineup is going to again feature three different models. They're going to have two OLEDs and then one LCD. So basically the same setup that they have this year, where you'll have like the 10S, the 10S Match, and then the 10R. But they're saying that the higher end iPhone 11, which is what they're calling it, the iPhone 11 Max, is going to have a triple rear camera system. Lewis, not one, not two, three lenses. Are you going to be upgrading? I know you have the 10S right now. Are you going to go 10S Max, or I should say 11 Max, to get the triple lenses?
You know, it depends on what that third lens does.
That's the big question, doesn't it?
I mean, I don't know. It must be like some sort of 3D, you know, crazy virtual reality kind of something to do with that, right? I mean, if it powers some kind of amazing new feature, or if it's like some crazy optical zoom, which I don't think that's what it's going to be. I don't know.
It could be. That could be it. My guess would be, at the very least, it's going to allow you to have a broader range of zoom. So you'll have like a wide angle lens, a medium angle lens, and then a telephoto lens. And that's actually called like the Holy Trinity in the world of photography. The trifecta is having a wide, a mid, and then a long range lens so that you can, you know, get that full spectrum of zoom. So it will probably enable you to do that. But the curious thing from this story is they're saying that the 5.8 inch iPhone 11, AKA the 10S, the current 10S, is only going to have dual lenses. So I thought we had reached parity, which I really liked, that the iPhone XS, XS Max were the same phone, except for one had a bigger screen. I like that setup.
Yeah,
I don't
me
like
too.
When they start packing features into the Max and make you go for the bigger phone just to get that one feature, which the Wall Street Journal is saying is what's going to happen here, which leads me to believe, I wonder if this is going to be like an experimental lens, and they're not totally sure exactly how they're going to utilize it. So they're going to make it available to the people who are willing to spend more for it to have that additional zoom. And then maybe they'll have some additional AR kit functionality built in that some people may want, but others may not care about. And that's the extent of what we know about what the lens will do at this point. And I have to say, I just kind of feel like we're getting to be ridiculous at this point. I see prototypes out there with 5 lenses. Some of them have 8 lenses.
9. I saw one with 9.
You saw one with 9? How many damn lenses does one man need? I think 2 is enough. In fact, I think 1 is probably fine if it has some kind of zoom functionality. But, you know, the lenses on phones are small, so they don't have optical zoom. So 2, I understand. But 3, now you're starting to push it. 4, now we're talking about clown car functionality. You know, 5 is just absurd. 9, give me a break. Do we need 9? No one needs 9. And did you see that render that came out this week showing you what it might look
square.
Like? Dude, I really hope that's not real.
Yeah, me too.
Did it not look absolutely hideous?
Yeah, I did not like the looks of that. And but, you know, it's a render, right? Who knows?
Well, that's what I wasn't sure of. Was this a leaked Apple image or was this just a render? I guess a render is maybe a misnomer. I'm not sure it was a render, but it looked like official marketing material, which is why I thought it was interesting. And I saw the picture and I was like, ooh, don't like it. But I don't like the lens on the XS and XS Max either. I think it's hideous.
Right.
I like
See,
that I cute little I button I have on my XR.
I don't have a problem with the one on the XS.
No, you like it?
Yeah, I like it just fine, and I love the pictures that it takes. And
well, there you go.
You know, this article, I got to say, this Wall Street Journal article, it's one of the most depressing Apple rumors that I've read in a long time.
Why
I mean,
say
really,
that?
Because I'm surprised. Actually surprised that you had kind of the same reaction as me. You know. If this article's right, it's going to be a sad day for people who like smaller phones. I love the size of the iPhone XS. You know, I've been carrying this thing around, and I had the 10 before that. I love it. I don't miss having a bigger phone in my hand. And anytime I pick up one of those Maxes, I'm reminded of how kind of unwieldy the 6 Plus was. So,
yeah, they're massive, aren't they?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I love the fact that I can just toss this phone in my pocket and it doesn't feel like I got a brick in there, you know?
Once you put a case on it.
Right, yeah. And, you know, there are times when it would be just fine, but in general, I carry the phone with me basically everywhere I go, almost every minute of every single day. So I don't really need that extra bulk, and I don't necessarily want that extra bulk. And if they come out with a camera that's better on the big one, I'm going to feel kind of, you know, left out if I have to go.
I know, I hate that they do this. I really hope they don't go this direction. Like I said, the XS, the XS Max, I'm glad that they have the same feature set. One has a bigger screen. That's it. And I don't like that they try to push you into the larger size phone to get the better camera features. I thought those days were over, Lewis. Yeah. I thought those days were over.
And you know what? They might well be. I mean, maybe this article is just bunk. I mean, to be honest, reading this article, I was kind of surprised. It just seemed kind of amateur hour. And it's some kind of, I mean, listen to this particular passage from this story, okay? Just 2 sentences. Let me read this out loud. So tell me if this struck you as like, oh my God, did they actually type this out? While product planning for 2019 models has progressed to a point where major features can't be changed easily, The planning isn't completed, the people said. Planning for 2020 models is at an earlier stage and more subject to revision, they said. Oh, really?
I thought that sounded extremely professional. You didn't like that blurb, huh?
I almost just dropped my phone, my little tiny phone that I was reading it on when I read that. Because it's like, oh, you're kidding me. The planning for the next year's models isn't as advanced as the ones for this year's models? Really?
Was that the same phrase that said, well, it would be hard to make changes at this point because they have already gotten everything locked in? Was that the same? Was that in the same vicinity as the blurb that you just read?
I think it might be the same sentence. But there was another thing on there that was kind of, I mean, this is not so depressing, you know, from a journalism standpoint, and please stop explaining stupid things to me, but it said Apple's considering trimming functions from its 2019 lineup to cut costs. That
including
the force
3D touch, right?
Module. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, trimming functions? I mean, these things are already really expensive. I don't expect them to be the same price with fewer features. I don't expect them to be, I'd like them to be cheaper. I mean, I think they're at the high end of what's tolerable for people on the planet. You know, I think that Cupertino's got a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of like living in the Silicon Valley billionaire bubble thing going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I really do wonder how true that is, because we've talked about that on the show before, and I kind of feel the same way. I have reached my Apple price threshold. They're charging so much for computers. I want to caveat my upcoming statements with I'm not complaining. I'm just making a factual statement about myself. You may be in a different position, but I do feel like their prices are so high that for me personally, I'm starting to think, okay, should I actually buy this gadget? What's its value to me? Do I really want to spend $1,500 on a phone, which is what a maxed out Max would cost you? And in some cases, I think, yeah, probably not, which is why I went with the XR, because I felt like it was actually reasonably priced. And I've seen a lot of people online anecdotally make the same kinds of statements. Like, they just feel like Apple's pricing them out. I look at Apple's laptops. I mean, the MacBook Pro. Man, MacBook Pros are so insanely expensive now. You can get MacBook Pros for $7,000. That just seems excessive to me, and outside of the realm of possibility for many people. And at a certain point, those people are going to start looking for other options. And I mentioned this maybe even last show. I was even considering getting a cheaper MacBook Pro and then using my PC to start editing video, because you can get a really powerful PC for $2,000, but it would have required me learning a whole new software suite. And so ultimately I decided, okay, I don't want to do this, and I'll just go with a MacBook Pro. And I will say, I had a listener connect me with a discount that I just couldn't say no to.
That always
helps.
it was a good
discount, and I'm very appreciative of that. In fact, I asked for help. I did eBay a little bit and asked some people for help, and I had some very generous replies from people. So I want to thank everyone who reached out to me and offered to give me a discount, because, you know, they're getting expensive, y'all. And Tim Cook's lifestyle, it requires premium prices on the premium gadgets. So if we're going to keep him in the lifestyle that he's grown accustomed to, then we're going to have to keep buying these products. But they are getting expensive.
Yeah. I hate to pick this article apart, but there's another really depressing line in this article.
Are you literally picking apart the journalism itself here, and not the Apple connection?
I am, because, I mean, listen to this. Maybe you've already washed this one from your mind because it was just so inane.
Uh-huh.
In a sign of Apple's awareness of the competitiveness of Chinese rivals, the company has been studying some Chinese smartphone brands, especially camera features, people familiar with the matter said. What? Apple's looking at its competition? I mean,
oh, so you're annoyed because it just seems like it's totally obvious that they would be doing this.
Yeah, I mean,
the writing's bad.
I feel like they were assigned to write an article about Apple. They had literally like one piece of information. Oh, there might be a triple lens camera in the big one. Maybe.
Look.
And then they had to fill like 14 inches in their article.
Well, yeah. Lewis, how much does it cost to subscribe to the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, I know.
It's like 15 bucks a month, right? They can't just say, oh, hey, guys. So here's what Apple's going to do with their phones, and they're going to raise the prices. Okay, see ya. Thanks for the 15 bucks. They got to make it 14 paragraphs long,
right,
so you feel like you're getting what you're paying for.
Well, I just felt like the whole story, I mean, you know, if that part is true, if that is actually an actual factual representation of what's going on at Apple, then I think Apple's screwed. Like, if because what that implies is that they haven't paid any attention whatsoever to what anybody else is making. They don't have any clue, right? And it never even occurred to them.
Oh, I'm sure that's not true.
I'm sure it's not true either.
Yeah, that can't
be
true.
I'm just saying, if that's true, it's depressing as hell.
There's no way that's true. They have to be looking at trends in the industry and responding to those trends. Now, I don't think that Apple goes along with trends just for the sake of going along. They might look at a trend and they might say, okay, this is bogus. No one's actually going to use this. This feature is a gimmick. But if they find a feature that's compelling, they say, aha, hey, y'all.
Yeah,
and they build that
like
into
a $500 price tag.
Yeah,
be compelling.
Right. Yeah, those days are long gone. Remember when the iPhone used to cost $650 and that was the nice version?
Yeah.
And now, yeah, $1,500. Somebody was saying, I was reading I don't know if I was on Reddit or something, but someone was saying they decided not to, it was on YouTube, it was a YouTube comment, and someone was saying they decided not to buy an iPhone XS Max because they would rather have a Fujifilm X-T3, which is the camera that I just bought. And I thought to myself, wow, that really puts it in context. A Fujifilm X-T3 is a really nice camera, and you could get that instead of buying a new iPhone and just live with your iPhone for another year or two. That's a compelling trade-off, at least for me. It's because you get a whole new gadget to play with and something that is going to take your photography to a whole different place. So people are smart. They're going to start making those comparisons, and that's why Apple's doing the payment plans, right? I think the payment plans, they're a huge trick by Apple. I actually did the math for the payment plan. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to add up how much it would actually cost me per year to get a new phone. And after all the upgrade fees and the activation fees and all that horse crap that you end up having to pay every time you buy a new phone, sales tax, you know, you're paying Apple like basically like $700 or $800 a year to upgrade your phone. Now, I actually don't remember the exact number. It was a lot of money. And so it tricks you into feeling like it's not that expensive because you're making these payments every month. But when you add the payments up, of course, they add up to a lot of money. And that's why I really do think it's best, and I'm going to continue to do this, I'm going to just keep paying for the phones, you know, full price. And that's going to keep me in check. So I don't buy a phone every year that I don't necessarily need and end up paying for the activation fees and the sales tax. I mean, that stuff adds up, and you don't even realize how much it costs you until you add it all up and you look at it on a yearly cost basis, and you're like, oh, wow, I'm spending, you know, $900 a year on a phone or something. I don't remember what the number was, but it was outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, 55 bucks a month.
55 bucks a month for a phone! Plus, you paid for sales tax.
Right, and
so that's not even being spread out across the entire year.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But it's a phone. You use it every day.
So, I mean, I use it, I bet I use the phone, you know, 16 hours out of every day.
Well, you know, there is an app to tell you exactly how much you're using.
Right.
It's called Screen Time.
Right.
It will tell you how many times you picked up your phone each day.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, I turn that feature off immediately. Anyway, I didn't mean to beat this to death, but it is interesting hearing what Apple has planned for the next phones and what can they do. This is the perpetual challenge, right, for Apple, for every company. They want to compel you to buy a new device every single year, but it's harder and harder in these mature product categories to give you features that are exciting because, look, perfect example, the steering wheel. I mean, the steering wheel, it's been around a while, and it still works great because it's you get to a point where the design is so finely polished, and it's hard to continue making derivative versions of that product every year that are exponentially better. They just are incrementally better, and that's an incremental improvement is hard to make. People don't get excited about incremental changes, I'll say that, and they don't want to dish out $1,500 for incremental changes. They want a big, exciting change. And it's funny, I was thinking about the course of history of our show, and I remember when we started, we were kind of in the heyday of iPhone. It was really starting to heat up, you know, and it was a new product category. Apple was growing like crazy. It was an exciting product category. And now all these years later, here we are with a really mature category that's a cash cow for Apple, but it's going to be hard for them to really innovate in exciting new ways just because the product category is so mature now. What do you do?
I know.
It's like like the MacBook Pro. What do you do? You got it perfected. You add a touch bar. This, I'm going to say it, superfluous, unnecessary feature that really is not useful, and yet you are going to be forced to pay for, and you're going to justify in a thousand ways that you need it, like I did, and then you get it, and you're like, yeah, I could have lived without this.
I think you need to look at a little article on cultofmac.com called 40 Tips That Will Make You Love Your Touch Bar.
I saw that today. You know what I thought? Propaganda! Propaganda! Fake news! Actually, I am going to check that out. Was that by Charlie?
No, that's by Graham Bauer.
Okay, good, because Charlie's the king of you're using it wrong. He's going to teach you why you're using it wrong.
It's pretty compelling. Made me want to use it.
Okay.
I was talking with somebody, oddly enough, talking with somebody just yesterday about the touch bar. You know, somebody, a guy on the darts team picked one up, and he was like, oh, yeah, it's great. I love it. I'm like, you know, I just never use it. I never use my laptop as a laptop. So it's almost physically impossible for me to move it because it's so far away from me.
Mm-hmm. Because you're using an external keyboard and all that.
Yeah. So, this article made me, you know, feel like I'm missing out a little bit.
Okay. I got to read this article. I have been trying to fall in love with the touch bar ever since I got my MacBook Pro, which by the way, I'm using the new space gray MacBook Pro. Ooh, baby. What a beauty. What a beauty it is. It looks even better in my office than it did in the Apple store. But I digress. So I've been trying to, in the pro apps, so Logic Pro 10, Final Cut Pro, I have been seeking out the touch bar to figure out how I could make better use of the touch bar, right? Mm-hmm. But what I have found is that the shortcuts that it's surfacing, it's actually faster for me to just use the keyboard shortcuts than take my hands off the keyboard and press a button on the touch bar. And so it's not really useful in that manner, which I think is what Apple was intending it to be useful for, right? Mm-hmm. Is to surface complicated interactions with a button that are contextual. And the other thing that I don't like about the touch bar is there's no feedback. There's no haptic feedback on it, which I think it desperately needs. Mm-hmm. And it's just so smooth. When you touch it, I don't really feel confident that the Mac knows that I touched it or registers the key that I pressed. It needs like little bzzz or like a buzz or something. I like having a tactile press on an actual key to know, okay, the Mac knows that I just pressed this button, and it's missing from the touch bar, which I really hate. I could turn this into a whole episode, in fact.
Have to get Graham on next week to talk about the
article. We should have him on. He could tell us how wrong we are. If Leander were here, we'd know. He would tell us, you're all wrong. It's one of the best inventions Apple has made in the last 10 years. And you're like, well, why? Can you elaborate? No, I'm not going to elaborate. You're all wrong. Didn't you hear me?
Think about this. Maybe it's for people who haven't been using a computer for 10 years. I mean, what you just said, the whole thing of like, oh, the key commands are so much easier. All right. Well, what if you just got your first laptop?
Yes. In that context, I could see it being useful. But my argument always goes back, okay, but this is a pro, quote unquote, pro feature.
Maybe this is for tomorrow's pros.
This is for the pros of tomorrow.
I've had this, you know, when I have used it, the few times I've used it as an actual laptop, I've had the exact same experience as you. I'm always using the key commands. I've been using these things for 20, 30 years. It's a little bit odd to look down. I'm a touch typist. I don't spend my time staring at the keyboard, you know.
We're all touch typists now. I mean, the era of Hunt and Peck is long over.
Except for L. Caney.
Is he a Hunt and Pecker?
He's a Hunt. he is a Hunter and Pecker.
And a Pecker, yeah. Well, I knew he was that last part, but yeah. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Having had his ghostwriters do his typing for him, he has no need for typing. Although sometimes when I read his books, I think maybe he just dictated this whole thing to Siri. It kind of seems like maybe he did. All right, we droned on about this way too long. Let me just at least mention, yes, we have the smart battery cases that came out this week for the XS, the XS Max, and the XR. They're now available for pre-order. By the time you hear this show, they'll probably be available in the actual Apple store. I think they come out on the 18th. And this is the first time we have received a Apple smart case for a phone with magnetic charging. These cases obviously support magnetic charging, which is cool. They provide added protection for your phone, of course, and they deliver up to 37 more hours of talk time or 20 hours of internet use for your phone. If you have the iPhone XR, the case takes you from the standard battery life of the XR up to 755 hours. Did you know that,
Lewis? 750? What?
55 hours.
Come on.
I'm joking. That's not true. I made that up. But I say that because the XR already has the best battery life of any iPhone ever made, period. The battery life on it is amazing. And I don't use that word ever. It really amazes me how good the battery life is. It just goes and goes and goes and goes.
Wow.
So if you're interested in getting the new smart battery case, they are only a mere $129. Only $129 for a battery case. A fair price, I think, if you need the extra juice. And I will also point out that the XS case will work with the iPhone X, because the iPhone X never had a smart battery case released for it. So you might be interested in getting one. It does block some of the mics and the speakers, since it's not actually designed to fit the iPhone X. But I was reading some tweets by Renee Ritchie, who was testing it out. And he said, indeed, it does work. So if you want to pick one up for your iPhone X, you can do that with some confidence. Okay, let's talk about Nike killing the shoelaces forever. We're in a whole new era, an era with no shoelaces. I mean, who wants to actually use shoelaces anymore? I don't even use my shoelaces ever. I never use my shoelaces. I tie them, and then I just slip my shoes on and off. That's the way I do it now. Because, wow. I mean, I don't have time to tie my shoes. Do you tie your shoes?
Sure.
Really? Every day?
Yeah, pretty much every day, yeah.
Man, it's such... I mean, don't you ever get bored with it and say, man, I'm wasting my life on this
I try not to focus pointless on
activity.
The act.
Yeah, I haven't done it, so I literally haven't tied my shoes in probably a year.
Your shoes must be pretty loose on your feet.
No, they don't. They don't. They just... I get them, you know, just to the right tightness, and then I just slip my foot in and out. Boom. Done.
What, you grease your heels? Come on.
No, I just buy shoes that... you know, are apt to letting you slide your foot in and out. I wear New Balance shoes, and they just, you know, they stretch to your foot when you slip them in. What can I say? But
jeez.
If you're like me, you don't like to tie your shoes.
I guess not.
The good news is you no longer have to. For only $350, you can buy the new Nike Adapt BB shoes. These are the shoes of the future, the ones that you've always wanted. The Adapt BB self-lacing shoes pack wireless connectivity and a custom motor and gear train, definitely not over-architected in any way, to give athletes a perfect fit without having to fuss with retying their laces. The shoes can be tightened or loosened using the buttons on the side of your shoe. Wait till there's a firmware issue or the thing is buggy and it just keeps tightening the laces on your shoe and you need to have your foot amputated. This could be really valuable to basketball players, I guess. Now, I'm reading from the story here because I didn't realize this. Whose feet can expand half a size or more during the rigors of a game. Half a size?
I know. Shocking. I couldn't believe that either.
That's a big-ass foot. I mean, imagine Shaquille's foot growing a half size during a game. That's like...
It's already
what,
giant,
inch?
Right?
I know. He's got like a size 27 shoe. Oh my gosh. The guy literally has skis on the bottom of his feet. But as I said, this technology won't come cheap. $350 a pair, which actually is cheaper than the kickbacks that Nike did of the Back to the Future shoes, which I think they were selling for $1,500. But those things were beautiful shoes. They looked exactly like they did. They were basically replicas of the shoes that they had in Back to the Future 2. So these shoes don't look like that. They look distinctly different. But you still get the same tech. It does kind of seem a little... I mean, it's like having three cameras on a phone, isn't it? I mean, I'm all for technology where it makes sense. But I'm not trying to be a Luddite here. But Do you need to have self-tying shoes?
It's funny.
I think the answer might be yes.
I'm looking at the picture and it says, you know, self-tying shoes, but I mean, they don't have shoelaces, right?
The shoelaces are built in.
They're just what I mean.
You literally cannot tie the shoes.
So is it more like just like a, it's like a cage that tightens.
Yeah.
They're not laces.
It's like a corset or something.
Self-gripping python shoe.
No. You need to get a job in the Nike marketing department because that's what they should have called these, the Nike pythons.
I'll be the grumpy guy they send down to just, you know, complain about everything. Also known as the janitor.
that seems like it's my job. I'm like, I'm just criticizing all this new technology, but this stuff actually seems like it's pretty cool. And I'd love to get my hands on a pair or my feet on a pair of these shoes and just try them out. I don't really like the way they look, though. I have to be honest. Not really my style.
Yeah, they just look like, what are those called, loafers?
They look like basketball shoes. Like, they look like something you would literally wear in a basketball game, which I'm not a basketball player, so I would look like an idiot wearing basketball shoes around. So you'd have to be like an actual basketball player. It would be cool, though, if this technology came to normal shoes, and eventually it probably will. And imagine you just put your feet in and your shoes just tighten. Actually, okay, I'm talking myself into this technology as we speak here in real time. You're leaving the house, you just put your feet in your shoes and it says tying shoes, and it just boom, your shoes are tied. You can adjust it, you can fine tune the tightness on your phone, and then when you're ready to take them off at night, you just press a button on the side of the shoe and the laces release and you can just slide them right off. I just sold you on it, didn't I?
I want voice commands. I don't want to have to press a button.
Oh, I like where your head's at. Home, relax, you need HomeKit.
Relax, baby. Yeah.
Yeah. You get to say, hey, Siri, I'm home. The jazz, the soft jazz comes on. The blinds go down. The lights dim and your shoes relax. Or, and your feet are nice and relaxed now. How do you like that?
Hey, Siri, let the dogs out.
Hey Siri, who let the dogs out? You did just moments ago. Oh my gosh, this just the more we talk about this, the more I convince myself that they're actually geniuses over there at Nike. They made
How long they gotta be battery powered, right? So how long does the battery last? Are they rechargeable? I didn't get enough details about these things.
I didn't either. I should have read more of this. I don't know any of that information. I'm gonna guess they're battery powered. If they were smart, they would have like perpetual motion, like Rolex does, where you move and it just charges it.
Oh, yeah.
As you move.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
That would make sense.
Boom. Okay. All right, let's see here. I want to talk about Netflix just real fast, and then we'll go into an all-new What We're Into. But before we do that, let me say thank you to Atlassian for supporting this episode. Incidents happen, and they require complex coordination between operations and software development teams who are putting out fires every day. That's why getting alerts immediately is critical. Thankfully, there's Opsgenie by Atlassian. Opsgenie empowers devs and ops teams to plan for service disruptions and stay in control during incidents. It also gives teams the power to respond quickly and efficiently to unplanned issues and helps to notify all the right people through a smart combination of scheduling and escalation paths that account for things like time zones and holidays. You want to make sure they're actually working when you ping them. Better yet, Opsgenie allows for deep flexibility in how, when, and where alerts are deployed with over 200 integrations like Jira, Amazon CloudWatch, Datadog, New Relic, and more. Plus, it tracks all activity and provides useful insights to improve future incident responses. With Opsgenie, your next incident doesn't stand a chance. Visit Opsgenie.com to sign up for a free company account and add up to 5 team members. That's Opsgenie.com. Never miss a critical alert again with Opsgenie. All right, let's talk about Netflix, Lewis. I decided on a whim, probably 6 months ago, to just cancel my Netflix subscription and see if I even noticed. And guess what?
Yeah,
I did notice.
I did notice.
But I didn't notice that much. So for the first 2 months, I really didn't even think about it at all. And then I was wanting to watch The Walking Dead, which is one of my favorite shows of all time. And I went to watch it. Oh yeah, I don't have Netflix, so I'm not caught up on the newest seasons. But I have to admit, I'm not loving all the new content that Netflix has been making. They make so much of it, and a lot of it isn't stuff that I really found to be compelling. Like, they would be shows that would get a lot of hype, and then I would go watch them and not really find that I was entertained. I think a great example of this is, was it like The Flash or something? No, it wasn't The Flash. It was, what's the show about
Daredevil?
The blind guy? Daredevil, thanks. I watched the first season of that, and I was so bored, I could barely make it through to the end.
I loved that.
You did? Okay, yeah. A lot of people seem to like it. Did it get more interesting after the first season?
Honestly, these days with all this crap, it's so hard to remember like what was what season, right?
I don't even know what season they're on. Maybe like 3 or 4 now,
I think they released season 3 not that long ago, and that's the end of it.
It's totally over?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah, they've got issues with Disney and Marvel Studios. Oh. Marvel's pulling all that stuff out of there because Disney's starting its own streaming service. And so I think Punisher, a new season of Punisher came out just in the past little bit, or is coming out. I think a trailer came out, excuse me. So that one's still in existence. But yeah, basically they're kind of pulling the plug on those things.
So, but the show was good.
Daredevil?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, but you didn't. The season with, that was the season with Kingpin, right?
Yeah, big, yeah.
D'Onofrio the big playing bald Kingpin. Guy. Yeah, I liked
it. He was
that.
Great, too.
Yeah,
he was great.
I thought it was great.
Anyway, I don't mean to argue the merits of
that particular show, right?
Yeah, I can't, Daredevil. I can barely even remember the name of the show. It was so boring. My brain keeps trying to push it right out my ear. I just felt it fall out. You said the name and it went bloop, yeah. Came right out of my left ear. But, my point being, Netflix was one of those things that was just, it was just a given. It was $10 a month. You just paid for it and you didn't even think about it. But they keep raising their prices. And their last price increase for me was the one that made me think, do I actually need this? And so I turned it off and I realized, yeah, I don't. And I was just wondering if you've reached that point yet, because they just raised their prices again. The base plan is now $9 a month. It was $8. The most popular plan rose from $11 to $13, and then the premium plan, which is the one that offers 4K, which is the one that I'm guessing a lot of people are interested in because, you know, they have 4K TVs now and there's like literally no 4K content anywhere, is going from $14 to $16 a month, which you add tax in my city, now you're looking at $17.60 a month for Netflix. I mean, it's definitely not worth that to me. What do you think about the price raises?
You know, it's just a little bit more money. I don't know. I think Netflix is still a pretty good value, although, I don't know. I think they're going to be running into some problems because a lot of these like, distribution deals they have are starting to be, you know, be called into, you know, not happening anymore. They're starting to have problems, right? Like for instance, supposedly Avengers Infinity War is like the last, Marvel movie they're going to get. On Netflix, because Disney's pulling it all out. They're going to put all that and all the Star Wars stuff on their thing. That's probably the main reason why they started making these their own content, right? Because otherwise they're at the whims. And then, you know, can you imagine managing all these different distribution deals? And I mean, that's the thing that kind of sucks about Netflix. You never know, like, oh, how long is this particular show going to be on? And, you know, you start watching a show that has 5 seasons, and what if you get through season 3 and then they lose the rights to distribute that one? What are you going to do?
That happened to me on Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
There's a few albums that I really loved. Like, I was listening to the Jurassic Park soundtrack, and they pulled that album because they had just released the new Jurassic Park. And so I guess they wanted people to buy the album, the new music. Uh-huh. And so they pulled the Jurassic Park albums off of Spotify. And I was like, what?
Yeah, this is the part that sucks about streaming. I mean, streaming's awesome until the thing you want to watch or listen to has been nuked from the service you subscribe to.
Yeah, we've been watching Stargate on Amazon Instant Video. And we realized they had season 1, 2, and 3, and they were missing like 5 and 6, and then they had 7 and 8, but they didn't have 9, but they did have 10. You know, so you have...
Yeah,
so
what's going on?
This is what happens on streaming, like you just said. Like, all of these licenses are so messy, so they end up not having all the content all the time, and it could be pulled at any time, and then it's just gone. Then what do you do?
weep. You just weep.
That's when people go, yeah, I'm going to use torrents.
Right. Well,
it's time to get signed up for that, that VPN I keep hearing advertised on all my favorite podcasts.
I got to say, you know, with the whole Netflix thing, I mean, I remember when they were first coming out with their first show, you know, what was it? I can't remember what it was called. Something with...
wasn't it like Lilyhammer,
right. Little Steven, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was just going, what? I mean, what? They're doing what? They're making their own shows. And I mean, I was really 100% wrong about this. I mean, I thought that was the biggest boondoggle. I thought, you know, they're morons. What are they doing? You know, now they've got movies that are Oscar contenders, right? So, mm-hmm. I've watched some great movies in there. I've watched some garbage that's been dumped into Netflix. I don't know. I just think it's still pretty good service. I like it, and I think it's going to have to go up a bit more than that. I mean, I'm still paying for cable, so I mean that if
Whoa,
I'm going to cut money,
dude.
If I, that's what I'm going to cut out. But you know, I like
how
having
how much is your cable bill every
Christ,
month?
I
it's got to be $200.
I looked at it the other day. It's like $145. I mean, you know,
yeah,
that's internet
yeah.
and cable, but you know, I was looking at the bill. I'm like, what? $8 a month for local sports? I never watch sports on TV. Never. I mean,
where do you watch it?
Nowhere.
Okay, so you don't watch sports, period.
No. I mean, they barely have any darts on TV, so. But yeah.
Wait. Do they have darts in any kind of visual format, period?
Are you kidding me?
Are
yes,
those just
of
like bootlegged videos
no,
that
no.
you can watch?
Yeah. It's a big thing, man. It's almost like watching professional wrestling. You got to watch it. They show it on BBC America. They show like
professional wrestling. Really? So like the guys are like in costumes. They come out and they're like yelling at each other and telling them how they're going to crush them and all their hopes and dreams.
It's just
that would actually make it really interesting.
It is a little bit like that. I mean, you know, there's not. I don't know. I'm pushing it toward that, right? But they definitely try to make darts interesting. They have, you know, fireworks and, you know, pom-pom girls.
Really?
And, you know, it's pretty, you know, pretty interesting.
Wait, whoa. Did you say pom-pom girls?
I'm going to say pom-pom women.
How dare you? You mean pom-pom people.
Right.
How dare you? There should be no pom-poms at all. Period, Lewis.
You know, well, they used to have what they called walk-on girls. And
yeah.
They
oh
eliminated them.
God.
And that always cracked me up. Because, I mean, what it was they would just have these, you know, two attractive young women who would come out and take the big fat guy by one by each arm. And they walk him up this, you know, basically like just a chute, you know, with lined by fans, shaking hands, whatever,
yeah.
you know, walk him up to the stage. And then they walk, you know, and the guy
and
goes up.
And give him his moment in the sun.
Yeah. And. You know, I got in some arguments with people about that, you know, like some of the dart players, you know.
Yeah.
They, you know, it's so sexist. I'm like, come on, you just made, you know, at least two women unemployed. I don't know. I don't get it. I'm an old dinosaur. I think it was just fine. Didn't bother me, but, you know, whatever.
You know,
I'm not a woman.
If you have a great dart game, is it too much to ask to have two pretty people take your arm and walk you up to get your trophy? I don't think so, Lewis.
I thought it was, you know.
They should have great. Equal representation, though. So it's like on the right, you have a very beautiful woman. And then the left, it's like a Chippendales model. And he's got like that little bow tie on his thing, on his neck. And he swallows up and down to make it dance for you.
Sure.
And then he's got he's no shirt, of course. He's got cufflinks, but no shirt. And then he takes your other arm and they walk you up together. How about that?
Yeah, I don't know. Would that please anyone? I can't tell anymore. It's all world's upside down. Everything's crazy. Nobody's allowed to have any fun. I don't understand it.
Okay, well, let's not get ourselves into too much trouble here. I don't even know how we got here. Oh, right, Netflix. So you got to kill your cable because they don't have enough darts on it. Noted. Maybe they'll bring that to Netflix, and then it will be worth $20 a month, which is where we're headed next. And at that point, I'm like, $20 a month for Netflix? Girlfriend, not for me. Not worth it for me. I'd rather have HBO, quite honestly. I would rather watch popular movies made by a lot of different creators than just one set of media created by one creator. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but
that's why I always don't want to pay for this stuff.
Oddly enough, HBO is the one thing on my cable bill. I'm just like, you know, maybe once Game of Thrones is over, I'm going to lose this because, you know, it's $15 a month. And I honestly, I don't even go into HBO and watch anything anymore. I mean, I do when certain series are on, but in general, I don't. So I'm just paying $15 a month every month. For, in fact, I should go right now and unsubscribe from it.
This moment.
At least until April.
Well, let's wait until the show's over because
huh?
That's not going to be interesting radio. You don't want to do it right this second.
Yeah.
But you should cancel it for sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up here because we're going long. How did we go so long with just two of us? Well, maybe that's why we went so long.
One bogus Wall Street Journal story.
Yeah, exactly. Good grief. I was like, this is going to be a short show for sure. But here we are, an hour in. Let's wrap it up with an all new What We're Into. This is the segment where we talk about the things that we like that aren't necessarily tech related. So, you know, we could talk to you about movies, TV shows, other stuff that doesn't really make it into the show any other way. I've got three very good picks this week. And you know what? I think I've got three. So I'll go, you go, I go, you go, I go. How about that? Sound good?
Sounds good.
I've even ordered them in order of most or least interesting to most interesting.
So it's a ramp up or a ramp down?
Yeah, it's a ramp up. Okay. It's a ramp up. All right. Yeah, the ramp down, that's not what you want to do in show business. You got to ramp up. You never want to ramp down, right? Yeah. So the first thing, I wish Buster was here because I'm curious to hear if he's gotten on the TikTok train because I'm on board and I'm TikToking every night. Have you ever even heard of TikTok, Lewis?
Isn't that what clocks used to do?
It is what clocks do. It's also what all the kids do, Lewis. We're all on, me and my fellow kids, we're all on TikTok together and we're having a great time. And no adults allowed. TikTok is totally bizarre. It's a new social media platform. And it's kind of a mixture between YouTube and Vine. And it has some interesting premises. So some people just use it to create short videos. So they'll come up with skits and stuff. There's a lot of like comedians or aspiring comedians using it. And they create like these skits where they are interacting with themselves because you can edit the videos, I guess, on TikTok. I've actually never created a video on it before. I just watch stuff. And so they create videos where they're interacting with themselves and they can be funny. And it also has this built-in... it has this built-in audio support. I'm trying to figure out how to describe this. I've never actually had to articulate what TikTok does. So people can create content based upon different sounds. So someone will upload like a sound from something like a movie or from their favorite song or something. And then they will create content based upon that content. So there is like this Dolly Parton song where she's singing something about, with this other guy. It's like a duet, and all these people recreate that scene in their own creative way. So it's the same song, but everyone does something unique with that song. So it's kind of cool actually, because you get to see all these people with all these varying levels of creativity do all these things with the same piece of material, which showcases people's uniqueness and their unique creativities. And then they can also duet with other people. So someone will create content and then I can bring your content into my content and react to it. So it creates like a split screen and like you're on one side and I'm on the other side and we're duetting with each other, even though we've never met and you don't even know that I'm doing anything with your content. So anyway, super addicting. I mean, you load it up on your phone and you just swipe up to go from video to video. So it's a perpetual endless stream of content. And I actually been thinking I need to get it off my phone. I've been using it. I have it on my iPad. They have an iPad app as well. And I will look at it before going to bed and I will be using it. And all of a sudden I realize it's like 1:30 a.m. and I'm sitting there looking at TikToks all night.
Wow.
Because it's just one after another. It's so addictive just to go boom, 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 boom. You're just swiping from one thing to the other. It's just endless content for you. And a lot of it's entertaining. Some of it's funny. Some of it is like acting. Some of it is people singing, reacting to each other. It's wildly creative and it is not as censorious as other social media platforms are these days. I kind of feel like it's the Wild West, like Twitter's, you know, censoring everything, YouTube censoring everything, Facebook's doing the same thing. And then there's TikTok. It seems like no one gives a crap what you post on TikTok. They just let anything go. They don't care. And I think it's a Chinese company, I think, that owns TikTok. So I think they just don't share the censorious nature that we seem to have here in the U.S. with these companies, with all these, like, you know, I don't even know what to call them, teams of people that are going through and making sure that content is quote unquote appropriate for the audiences.
Sanitizers. But you're telling me communist China doesn't have any censorship?
Well, they don't care what content happens in the U.S. And I'm sure in China, everything is all censored. You probably can't even use TikTok. But if they're making it for a U.S. audience, they don't care how bad it is. So that's my first pick, TikTok. It's free, by the way. And if you've heard about it, it's been in the news a lot recently for lots of reasons I won't talk about here. But it's wildly entertaining. I've been enjoying it. Okay, what do you got for us, Lewis?
All right. Well, so I got a couple of cookbooks.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting
left
that.
Left field, okay. Right? Yeah. You know, it just got back from Italy and Spain. Mm-hmm. And I really got... I mean, I've been to Italy a lot, but Spain I've only been to a couple of times. And I really, you know, there's something pretty awesome about Spanish cooking. And in Barcelona, you know, it's just like wall-to-wall amazing restaurants everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like San Francisco in that there's all kinds of food, right? I mean, it's like everything you could imagine. But, you know, we were always just looking for like, you know, pincho bars. You ever heard of, you know what a pincho is? You ever heard that term?
Is it like tapas or something?
Yeah, but they're like little half sandwiches. It's like a piece of baguette or something with some, you know, some fish on it or a sausage or, you know, whatever. And you go into these bars over there and you get like, they basically just have them all out, right? If you go to a pincho bar, they have all these things on the counter and you just go up and you take a plate and you just say, grab this, you grab that, and you ask them, hey, what in the world is this? Sometimes you can't tell. And at the end of the night, you get your bill by handing over, like each one comes with a little toothpick in it, right? And sometimes they're color-coded toothpicks, like one might be red and one black. Other times they're all the same price, whatever. At the end of the night, you just like, here's my plate, and I got, you know, seven toothpicks. They charge you, you know, €7 or whatever, you know? I'm sorry, €7. I was instructed that you're not supposed to use the S.
Don't use the S.
€7, excuse me.
Yeah, thank you. How? Get it right.
Whew. anyway, so it really got us interested in Spanish cooking, and so I've been reading a book called, I don't know how to pronounce this book. That's an unfortunate thing. It's spelled like curate with a little emphasis over the U, so it's probably like curate or something.
Curate, yeah, curate.
But authentic Spanish food from an American kitchen. Beautiful book, got amazing recipes. It's just written by this woman, Katie Button, who has a restaurant. I think it's in North Carolina or South Carolina. Anyway, just really kind of amazing. I made some potatoes the other day. You know, you make these potatoes, you boil them in this super salty water, super salty. Ooh. And you basically just boil the water away. And so the potatoes are kind of covered with this like salty crust. And then you cover it up with this sauce made of like cilantro and parsley. Ooh. And oregano and garlic and olive oil and, you know, this really super fresh green sauce you dump on there. Super delicious.
Sounds good.
So that's an awesome book, and it has a lot of interesting things. But there's another book also talking about Spanish food called Charcuteria, the Soul of Spain. And this thing,
Charcuteria?
Charcuteria. What? I'll give you links to these things.
Yeah, you'll have to.
This one is awesome because it talks all about the you know, Spanish butchering and meat curing techniques, and you know, they're really into Iberico ham. You know, just like Italy has prosciutto, right? They've got Iberian ham, and it's these pigs raised on these certain kind of walnuts, and they're anyway. If you go over there, you know, just it's of course chorizo, and it's not soy riso; it's the real deal, and it's pretty awesome, man. It's a pretty interesting book. Again, you know, really like interesting stories, really deep exposure to this whole weird like butchering and how they make the sausages and things. You know, it's like, I can't remember the term for it, but there's like, you know, this time-honored tradition of like you go out and everybody kind of goes out to this shack. And for like 2 days, and they make this food. You know, they slaughter the pigs, and they make these sausages, and then they, you know, end up hanging them up and everything, you know, the sausages to dry. So, super interesting to me. And it's weird. I mean, I love Italy, and I love Italian food, and I think it, you know, that's like what everybody I know, it's like, oh, yeah, Italy, you know, the food is amazing, and it really is. But you know, Spain is pretty awesome too. And I'm sure Leandro will have it's plenty to say about this when he gets back. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that's amazing about Spain. I think I like Spanish wine better than I like Italian wine. And you get some amazing deals at these places over there, you know, and you could really eat really quite well and drink quite a lot for not very much money. We had some really kind of amazing experiences over there.
I love the beaches too. The beaches in Italy are also crowded. And then you go to Spain and there are beaches that are just like miles long and there's no one there. It's just you.
I didn't make it to the beach. I couldn't get away from
the beach.
Well, A, it was the winter, but B, I was probably at a pincho bar.
You're probably just drunk, so, walking around eating small sandwiches, yeah. I hear you.
Have you been to Barcelona then?
I have been to Barcelona. In fact, have you ever heard my Barcelona story about Naked Man?
What?
So, this was years ago. I'll keep it short because we got to move on. But I went to Barcelona and we heard rumors that there was a naked guy that lived there. He just walked around naked. And we were in the back alleys of Barcelona and we found this little alley where these guys were playing music. In fact, there was a saxophone player. He was incredible. And there was another guy playing like a metal drum. I don't even know what you call it. And they were deep into a cut. We were all just sitting there totally entranced because these guys were so talented. And then I look up. I was sitting there, you know, like against the wall. And I look up and there is a pair of ass cheeks right in my face. Like, like a foot and a half away, just bald and walking away from me. And I look up, there's Naked Man. And he's just walking away from me. And when I say he's naked, he wasn't wearing a hat. He wasn't wearing a shirt. He wasn't wearing socks or shoes. He was 100% naked. And he was just walking as casual as you possibly could, just strolling along. Like, he didn't even notice that he was naked. And he was just walking to his next destination, just totally naked. And everyone just kind of looks around each other. And we were all laughing. And then years later, I was talking to Charlie Sorrell about this. And Charlie used to live in Barcelona, and he's like, oh, Naked Man. He's like, oh yeah, I would see that guy all the time. You just
in his mirror.
He lived with me. Yeah, I guess that guy and his boyfriend or something were both naked, and they just walked around Barcelona, you know, and you know, very accommodating city. And you know what? Barcelona's not warm during the wintertime.
No, not too warm. No, not too bad. It's a lot like San Francisco, and you know, complete with the naked guys.
I hope he at least wore like a Chili Peppers sock or something during the wintertime, you know, keep things warm. Okay, my second pick. Oh gosh, which one do I go with here? This is actually tough. I've got two pieces of movie news here that I was very excited to see. Okay, I'll do this one first, then I'll wrap up with my third movie pick here as the final pick. So you may have heard this, but they are making a sequel to Ghostbusters. And no, I'm not talking about a Ghostbusters reboot. They are making a brand new Ghostbusters that picks up where Ghostbusters 2 left off. So this is an original Ghostbusters movie. The movie will be directed by Jason Reitman, who I guess is the filmmaker's son of Ivan Reitman, who was the original director and producer of the original Ghostbusters. And he was doing an interview with EW.com, and he said that he was going to move away from the 2016 reboot story, and he was going to have an all-original story, and I guess it's going to be an all-male cast, I guess, as well, too. And they were asking him, well, is it going to be like the original cast, or are you doing a new cast? And he didn't say. So we don't know if they're bringing back the original actors or if they're going to just be cameos by those actors. I would be surprised if we didn't at least see Dan Aykroyd in the movie, because Dan Aykroyd has been trying to get a Ghostbusters movie made for years, and I guess this is going to be it. They are saying that the movie is going to be launched in 2020, and that's all we know about it so far, but I'm hoping for Dan Aykroyd, of course, Bill Murray. You can't have Ghostbusters 3 without Bill Murray. And if we're really lucky, if we all be really good in 2019, we might get, what's his name? Who was the guy who played Dark Helmet in Spaceballs.
Tim.
No. He was like one of John Candy's friends. Rick Moranis, one of my favorite actors of the 80s and 90s, who actually completely disappeared. He stopped acting. Very sadly, his wife, I think, had cancer or something and then died. And when that happened, he gave up acting forever. He just quit Hollywood and raised his kids, which is very noble, actually. I really admire him for doing that and stepping away from it. But he was one of my favorite actors. I mean, he was an icon of the 80s and 90s, right? Especially in comedy movies, especially in Ghostbusters. So if they could bring back Rick Moranis in his film debut, oh my gosh.
Re-debut.
His re-debut in film, that would be a ticket. I wouldn't even have to get a movie pass for that. I would pay full price for that ticket. Count me in. Count me into that. That would be a glorious reunion of some of the best actors of my lifetime. So that's my second pick. What do you got for your second and last pick here, Lewis?
All right. I'm going to stay on the eating and drinking thing. Ooh. And I'm going to talk about grappa, because grappa is something that I was not very familiar with before this last trip.
Is grappa pretty popular in Greece?
Italy. It's Italian.
It's popular in Italy? Okay.
And
it's like a dark licorice or black licorice liquor, isn't it?
No.
Come on now.
It's a pomace brandy. It's made from distilling grape skins, pulp, seeds, and stems. Okay, so it's basically the leftovers from the winemaking process. Served as an after-dinner drink, digestivo. And, you know, it's a pretty interesting little thing. I used to have it, you know, once in a while, like in the United States, you know, with somebody would pull some out at some point, you know, and it's always like, oh God, you know, I think it's kind of got a bad rap in the US, but maybe that's because like only garbage got imported, or maybe it's better. I don't know. I'm kind of new to this whole thing. And I've seen it on menus in Italy, but I never really had any. I'd never been to Italy in the winter. This year, we went over there for, you know, Christmas and New Year's. And so we were on, especially on New Year's, we were walking around in Florence. It was freezing cold, you know. I mean, it wasn't like Minnesota freezing, but it was, to somebody from San Francisco, it was pretty cold. And so we were just walking around for hours and hours and hours. We kept stopping at bars, and we'd go in like, oh, let's have a grappa. Oh, let's have a grappa.
Hmm, why not? Sure, why not? Yeah,
right. You know, anything to keep warm, right? Trying not to freeze to death. And so we tried a bunch of them, and it was pretty tasty. I got to say, most of it is clear, which is, you know, kind of like, I don't know. Have you heard of white whiskey? Have you heard of that term?
No, I haven't.
It's basically just unaged whiskey, right? Which is basically moonshine. That's what I always had heard of, or it's the only thing I'd ever seen was clear grappa. But there's also, they also make aged grappa, and it's aged in barrels, right? Like wooden barrels. And I didn't know this, but there's actually three different kinds of aging. You know, you can get aged, which means, I guess it's called vecchia, which means aged in any wooden barrel for 1 year. There's reserve, which is, reserva or stravecchia, any wooden barrel for 1.5 years, a little bit longer, right? But then there's this thing called barrique. And this is aged in small, particular kind of cask, you know, 225-liter French oak barrique or barrel. And just like with whiskey, you know, like with white whiskey, which is sort of, you know, clear and you know, I mean, can taste interesting and good, but then, you know, you get bourbon, which is a dark liquor and has a lot more flavor and character and things, right? So aging grappa, just as aging, you know, whiskey or wine, aging it in a barrel gives it a different taste. So this stuff is, you know, it has color to it. It's not as dark as a bourbon or anything. You know, it's more like a, you know, light brown. Anyway, some of that stuff, absolutely delicious. And so I'm on a mission over here to find more grappa. I know they sell it in stores. I've never bought any. I've never tried it over here, but I'm about to. So
take a look around the office. I bet you'll find some in a bottle somewhere.
I don't think so. And if it was to be labeled Gropper, I'm pretty sure later we'd call it Gropper.
Give me that Gropper. there's a bottle of something around there. Whether or not it's Grappa, I don't know. But yeah.
I don't know.
So it's like a sweet dessert wine, you said.
No, I know. This is like, 60 to, 100 proof. I mean, it's pretty high voltage stuff. And the clear stuff, it just like moonshine, it's pretty strong and it can be kind of aggressive,
kind of aggressive. Well, it's made from trash.
Right. Yeah. Well, it is the ultimate recycling. And I love to see people not wasting things. So
it doesn't taste like black licorice. Are you sure?
No, I think you're thinking of, I know what you're thinking of and I can't think of the damn word. It's, ouzo is what you're thinking
ouzo,
of.
Ouzo, that's right.
That's what
you're
the
right.
Greeks drink.
You're right. That's what I was
Grappa
thinking of.
Grappa is way different. It's more like, it's a brandy. It's more like, like a brandy. It's exactly like a brandy because that's what it is. And it's, aging it in the barrel, it makes it smoother. It makes it a little, just more complex, gives it more character. It's a little sweeter, but it's by no means a sweet thing. But it is pretty delicious. So if you're one of the people like me who just had a sad, unfortunate exposure to Grappa a long time ago, give it a chance.
Next time I go to a bar, I'm going to get a Grappa, and what do I mix it with? On the rocks? Drink it straight?
Yeah. I sip it. Ask for barrique.
Barrique
Grappa, yeah. I think it's Barrique.
That's the real old stuff, is what you're telling me to get.
Well, it's not the really ancient. Old. It has to be aged, I think, only a year, but it's aged in smaller casks. And it's just like everything else, I mean, Italy loves to have rules about how long things are stored and how they're aged and what type of grape is used for wine, And that's the other thing about Grappa, right? It's all from wine. Or it's the leftovers of the winemaking process. So it's different types of grapes make different kinds of Grappa. So it's like, I don't know. I felt really stupid when I was over there because to me, Grappa was like a thing, Yeah, it's this garbage liquor made from garbage. but it turns out that a stupid American's, idea of what something is from Italy is completely wrong, and the actual reality is pretty awesome.
It does sound like it's made from garbage, though, so.
It's upcycled liquor.
Upcycled liquor, there you go. I like that. Good spin. Okay, my last pick, this one we'll keep it short because I think it's just you, me, and maybe like five or six other people here. Another great movie announcement. Lewis, what was my favorite movie of 2018?
Jumanji.
Jumanji, welcome to the jungle. How do you like that? Did you think Axl Rose was here? No, that was just me. They're making a sequel of last year's Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. And the more I hear about the cast, the more I think I've already got my favorite movie of 2019 on lockdown and they haven't even made it yet. So the newest news, they're bringing back the entire original cast. Okay, check. Already on board. Plus, they have the original director. Uh-oh, we're getting somewhere now. And original screenwriters. Hey-oh! Getting that ticket on lockdown. But this is where it gets even better. They've just announced that they are bringing on Danny DeVito on board. Talk about a perfect member of the Jumanji cast, Danny DeVito. And if that's not enough Danny for you, no, he's not getting too old for this shit. They're bringing on Danny Glover. Danny Glover, Danny DeVito. And then a rapper named Awkwafina. So,
Oh.
There's her. Do you actually know who she
Crazy
is?
Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah. I haven't even seen that movie, but they said that Awkwafina was joining. And I was like, what? Who's Awkwafina? Man, yeah. These rap names just keep getting worse and worse. And so I looked her up and I was like, oh, I recognize her. So she's going to be there too. And I mean, now I'm excited and I'm sure you're excited too. Oh. Danny DeVito, Danny Glover. They need to bring on Mel Gibson. Oh, how amazing would that be? Mel Gibson, Danny Glover in a in a movie together again. You know what? I'm holding out for a Lethal Weapon 5. Joe Pesci hasn't been in anything in 25 years. Did you know that? Joe Pesci quit acting too in like 1998.
Wow.
doesn't it feel like he's just around? Nope, dude hasn't acted in like 20-something years. Wow. He quit too.
How do actors just quit? I mean, I guess if you got enough money and you just like not
just
into
get
it,
enough but... money. Yeah, get enough money. Huh. You get tired of the BS and you're like, yeah, got my mills. I was in Lethal Weapon 4, the greatest movie of all time. What else do I have to live for? Let's just call it good. Wrap it up on a high note. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, speaking of wrapping it up on a high note. We missed our opportunity to do that probably about 45 minutes ago. Hey, so let's just go ahead and wrap it up here instead. How about that?
What's the name of the Jumanji movie? Is it Jumanji Paradise City?
Yeah, exactly. Paradise City, you're going to die. Yeah, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But if you haven't had enough, maybe you want to just come say hi to us. We're both on Twitter. I'm at Arifon. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday nights. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Can you give me an Axl Rose next time here, Lewis?
Oh, God, I don't know if I can.
You can take it up high. Take it up high for me.
Next time! Whoa. That wasn't very good.
That was better than I could have done. You could have been in a rock star band.
Yeah.
A rock star band. They call them that? That's what you could have been. Rock star band Lewis. You got to have like that Sammy Hagar, you know, scream, and you got it. You got it, baby. It's those leather pants. It's those tight leather pants.
Yeah, I need a self-lacing later hose.
Can you give me I think the German engineers need to get on that. Can you give me like a rock star scream? Give me something to take home with me.
Give you something to take.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Dude, that's great. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's about as high as I can go. Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah, I think. We're gonna have to start a band. I'm sure you know everybody's gonna want to come and hear this.
We can just do that, yeah part over and over again.
Yeah,
I mean,
this is our latest song. It's called Yeah.
And then you do it for a while, and then you point to me, and I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh my God. Where's Buster recording from today?
I don't know. Oh, McDonald's. I don't know where he was, but he ended up at McDonald's. I know that.
Really?
There he is.
You're serious about that?
Yeah, he's at McDonald's. Buster. Wait for the McDonald's internet to kick in.
Wow.
Buster, you gotta buy like a Seattle's Best or something so they increase your bandwidth.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. He's in a big white van parked in a McDonald's trying to podcast.
When you say it that way, it does sound funny, doesn't it?
People wonder why we're not flying everybody in business class down for the big reunion. Oh my God! What would you say the percentage of times where somebody just can't make it because of a technical difficulty happens?
I know. It's shocking how often it happens. Really, because I don't run into tech problems like this very often. Maybe it's just because I know how to fix them.
Maybe it's just because you're living in a house.
Maybe it's because my house doesn't have wheels.